Alright, we're beginning here on the top of Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph, 9 lines down. Gemara is discussing the issue of Isur Chalal Isur, something that we already began yesterday. We can continue with today's daf, which is that there is a machloket amongst the Tanaim as to whether when you have an Isur that already exists, can another Isur devolve upon that object or upon that individual? And so there are two shita with regard to that, whether Isur Chalal Isur or Ein Isur Chalal Isur. The prevalent position amongst the Tanaim is that Ein Isur Chalal Isur. The only question is, how many exceptions do you have to that rule? And there are a number of cases where you have an exception to the rule. Now, first of all, the rule itself, when we say Ein Isur Chalal Isur, it's Machlok and Tanaim in the Gemara and Yivamot and Daf Lamed Gimel, as to what happens to the second Isur in that case. Is the Ein Isur Chalal Isur simply a suspension of the Onesh Beit Din, but the person is still, in essence, charged with that abrogation? It's just we can't punish him for it, so the punishment is suspended because Ein Isur Chalal Isur. Or is Ein Isur Chalal Isur more powerful in the sense that that Isur disappears, and then when that Isur disappears, the individual is not held accountable at this point for it, but if the first Isur for some reason then dissipates or is no longer relevant, then the second and Isur will take hold. So according to everyone, if the first Isur disappears, the second will take hold. Question is, when the first one has taken hold, what's the status with the second one? There in the Machloket is about whether the second one is considered to have taken place, just not punishable, or is it as if it never took place at all? Generally, almost all the Achronim agree that with regards to, let's say, Yedei Shamayim, a person has to do tshuva for both of the Isurim. That's as far as Ein Isur Chal Al Isur, what is the status of that second Isur? Now, the exceptions to the rule are a number of cases. One is called Bevat Achat, if they happen simultaneously. So even though you have two Isurim, when they happen simultaneously, both of them devolve, partly because there's no reason to say one or the other, because they're happening at the same time, and therefore you don't have anyone coming for the other to knock out the other one, or say that that takes precedence. That's Bevat Achat. There's also something called Isur Mosif and Isur Kolel. Isur Mosif in general is something whereby the chafetz upon which the Avera is performed now takes on some more stringencies. So maybe in the past it was only punishable by Malkot, now it's punishable by Karet, by Skila. So that's in a sense of a Chumrah, that there is a stringency now associated with this violation vis-a-vis this object that didn't exist before. So if you add on this Isur, it'll be Mosif. It'll add on additional punishments or levels of punishment. That's one type of Mosif. Or Isur Mosif also can be manifested in the fact that this object now has more people that have a problem with this particular object. It's not just the individual who has an Isur associated with it. Other people now have Isurim associated with this object. That's usually more manifest the cases in Yevamot of Arayot, where, for instance, a marriage can change the status of a woman vis-a-vis others, even though for that individual beforehand there was already a problem beforehand, but now you've added additional people. There's also something called an Isur Kolel. Kolel means that it includes more items than this chafetz itself. That means that until this point, this item was asur, everything else was mutar. Now the new Isur makes it that not only is this item asur, but also other items are asurim. And that we have a machloket amongst the Tanaim as to when we allow Isur to be Chalal Isur with these exceptions. Rashi will note today that there is a machloket, and that the Gemara is following the machloket, that there's a correlation between Bat Achat and Isur Mosif and Isur Kolel, that in order for it to be Bat Achat to work, there's some correlation with Isur Kolel and Isur Mosif. Tosafot is not so certain that that connection exists over here, but we will see all of these manifestations today in the different views within Ein Isur Chalal Isur and the exceptions to the rule. Obviously, in our context over here, we have the issues of Gidan Asher, which is Asur, but there are other Isurim that surround the Gidan Asher. The truth is that it's really only applicable in most instances when you say that Gidan Asher is Notain Tam, because then other Averot have impact over here, versus when Ein Gidan Notain Tam means that Gidan Asher is a Chiddush, that if you eat a piece of wood, that you're chayav for it. That means that most of the other Isurim will not be applicable to it. So in general, we're focused on the view that it's Gidim, Yesh B'Gidim, and Otein Tam, in order to have this be a relevant argument. Now, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Ochel Gidin Asher Shel Nevela. Someone eats a Gidin Asher of a Nevela. In essence, you have two Isurim that you're contemplating. Contemplating the Isur of Nevela, and then you're contemplating the issue of Gidin Asher. Rabbi Meir Mechayev Shtayim. Rabbi Meir says you're Chayav for both of them, which is both for the issue of Nevela, as well as the issue of Gidin Asher. Chamim Amim, Inu Chayav El Achat. They say that you only chayav one, nevela, or gedin hashem, only one of those two. Umodim chachamim the Rabbi Meir. And the chachamim agreed to Rabbi Meir, ba'okel gedin hashem, shel ola, v'shel shor haniskal. When it comes to the gedin hashem and ola, or shor haniskal, shechayav shtayim. Over there they agree that you're chayav for both of them. And then the Gemara asks, man haitana, to be Isur kolel, Isur chal Isur leitle. Then when it comes to an Isur kolel, he does not think that Isur Chalal Isur. That's not sufficient grounds to allow you to add on an additional Isur. Until this point in time, the Gidin Asher was Asur. Then the animal dies, it becomes a Nevela. Now Nevela adds on an additional aspect, which is, not only is the Gidin Asher Asur, so is the remainder of the Basar of the animal. So that's an Isur Kolel. The Isur of Nevela adds on additional items that are now Asurim, that weren't true before when with regards to the Gidin Asher. So that's an Isur Kolel. And we just saw here that the Chachamim believe that when you have Gidin Asher and Nevela, you only Chayav one. Gidin Asher, you're not Chayav for the Nevela. So that means that in the case of Isur Kolel, they do not think that's sufficient to make you Chayav for Isur Chalal Isur. On the other hand, when it came to the Ola, or the Shor Niskal, the Ola, which has the restriction of being Gidin because it is Kodoshim, in addition to that, now it has an Isur Hana'ah, not just an Isur Achila. And similarly with the Shor Niskal, which had a Gmar Din, it had a verdict that it killed someone and now is subject to being stoned as the requirements of the Torah are with regards to an animal that kills a human being. So now it's subject to Skila. The Gemara learns that when an animal has a Gmar Din for Skila, it is not only Asur Ba'achila, it's Asur Ba'hana'ah. So both of these instances, you added on an Isur Hana'ah. Truth is, by an animal, Shenevad Ba'Veira, Rashi notes. Also, bestiality would put the animal in the same position, because there it gets Skila as well. And in all those instances, you've added on top of Isur Achila, an additional Isur Hana'ah. And over there, the Chachamim say that by Isur Kolel, be Isur Chamur, when you have an Isur Kolel with a more stringent Isur, they do have Isur Chalal Isur. So Nevela doesn't work to devolve upon the Isur of Gidin Asher. On the other hand, the Isur of Kodoshim and the Isur of Shor Niskal is successful at devolving upon Gidin Asher. So Gemara is searching for the Tana that has such an opinion. What's interesting about the Isur Hana'ah that is generated over here is that the Isur Hana'ah would traditionally, or the way that we explained it before, should have been an Isur Mosif, in a sense, because you're adding on to the same chepetz additional restrictions. It was once Asur Ba'achila, now it's Asur Ba'hana'ah. You would have thought it's called an Isur Mosif. That, Tosafot says, is not the case. Even though it sounds like an Isur Mosif, he says that Hoch Kari Le Hocha Isur Kolel. Gemara says it's an Isur Kolel with an Isur Chamur. Don't say when the Gemara says Isur Kolel over here, it means not really Isur Kolel, it really means Ela Isur Mosif. He says that the Isur of Hana'ah does not qualify for your standard Isur Mosif. It simply is an Isur Kolel Chamur. That's what our Gemara calls it. Tosafot doesn't explain why that is, but you could think or you could suggest that Isur Hana'ah is really just a stronger form of Isur Achila. It's just an extension of Achila. Achila is the most prominent form of Hana'ah that one has from an item. Meaning that Hana'ah enjoyment is the pleasure that one gains from a particular chayfetz. Eating is the most extreme form of that. You're ingesting. It's a very physical type of pleasure. And so achila is just a very acute form of hana'ah. When you say there's an isur hana'ah over here, all you're saying is that it's an isur achila chamur. It's not that you actually added on a new level of isur, even though that's traditionally how we look at it. What you'd have to say here is it's just an expanded form of achila, which is now the Isur Hana'ah. And that's why they call it an Isur Kolel Chamur, rather than simply a Isur Mosif. An Isur Mosif would be something like where you have a stringency that involves punishment. where that the punishment is not just Malkot anymore, there's a Chiyuv Karet associated with it, that's clearly an Iser Mosif, because you've upgraded the violation significantly in that case, rather than just being an extension of the Iser Achila that already existed. That's what you'd have to say to explain this Balei HaTosafot over here, as well as the Gemara that says it's called an Iser Kolel and not an Iser Mosif. Now the truth is, it is Kolel. When you make something Asur B'Kodoshim, it's not just the Gid and Asher that is Asur now, it is the Basar of the whole animal now as an Iser of Kodoshim and it, of eating it. When you have the Shor Niskal, it's not just the Gid and Asher that's Asur B'Achila, so too is the entire animal now Asur B'Achila. So the Iser Kolel exists over here. So the question is it also an Iser Mosif, or is it an Iser Kolel Chamur? And Tosafot says that it's an Iser Kolel Chamur, not an Iser Mosif, in addition to the Iser Kolel over here. So Amar Rava, Rava makes the suggestion that Rabbi Yossi Aglili he, that this position of the Chachamim is Rabbi Yossi Aglili. It's not, we have a Mishnah. Tamei Shachal Kodesh. If you have an individual who is Tamei, that ate Kodesh. Ben Kodesh Tamei, Ben Kodesh Tahor, Chayav. It doesn't matter what the status of the Kodesh is. By Parsha Tzav, we learn that an individual who eats Kodeshim B'tumat HaGuf is subject to Karet. There's also a separate Isur Lav, for eating a Korban or something that Kodesh that is Tameh. So now what happens if you have both of them combined together? The person is eating Kodesh that's Tameh, but he himself is also Tameh B'tumat HaGuf. So the Tanakam over here says you are chayav in that instance. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Tamei Shachalat Tahor chayav. Only a Tamei that eats something that is Tahor is chayav. If you Tumat Aguf is the reason that you shouldn't have eaten it, and that's and you did eat it, you're going to be chayav great. Tamei Shachalat Tamei, on the other hand, if you have Tumat Aguf and the Kodeshim are Tamei, then you are Patur. Shalo Achal Eladavar Tamei. You're eating something that is Tamei. You're not really eating Kodeshim. The Kodeshim part of it, in essence, has been degraded or downgraded because of the fact that it is Tamei now. So Amrulo. So they said to him, Ab Tamei Shachalat Tahor. Any person who is Tamei that eats something that is Tahor, Kevin Shinogabo Tameu. Anytime you touch it, it becomes Tamei. And that's the natural way of the progression of someone who is Tamei eating Kodesh. Is he touches the item, it's Tamei, he puts it in his mouth and eats it, and now he's eating something that is Tamei. So by definition, every case of Tumat Aguf is going to result in something that has Tumat Basar with it as well. Now the Tosafot says over here that the exception could have been if someone else put it into his mouth. If it's Tachav Lo Befiv. So Tosafot, it says over here, Yodim Hayu. They knew the Lo Arish Katachav Lo Chaveiro. The case here is definitely not this. Because the Gemara says it in this way, it's clear the Gemara doesn't believe that that's the case. In all likelihood, it's because it's not the normal way to consume items. And we're not going to set up the case in the Torah in this kind of irrelevant Yotzei Min HaKlal type of case. That means the Torah brought an Iser of someone, Tumat HaGuf, eating something Tameh, only in a case where they're popping into his mouth on a toothpick. That doesn't sound to be the Iser the Torah has. The Iser the Torah has is don't eat it when you have Tumat HaGuf, period. And given that, the Chachamim say it's a normal way of eating. If that's the case, then you're always going to be mitameh the ochel before it goes into your mouth. It means that every case of Tumat HaGuf also includes Tumat HaBasar. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili, how could you say that when you have Tumat HaBasar, that eliminates the Iser of Tumat HaGuf? And the Gemara says, Shapir Kamri Le Rabbon and the Rabbi Yossi Aglili. That's a very strong case that the Chachamim are making against Rabbi Yossi Aglili's position. V'amar Rabba, Rabba says, V'nitma HaGuf. If the individual themselves became Tamei, v'achar kach nitma basar, then only afterwards did the basar kodeshim become Tamei, kuli ama lo plige dechayav. Everybody agrees you are chayav, the Iser Karet kadim. Because the Iser Karet came first. Meaning that the Tumat HaGuf happened first, and since the Tumat HaGuf happened first, you are going to be chayav for it. The Tumat HaBasar that happened afterwards, that is not relevant necessarily because your restriction vis-a-vis this Kodeshim was there prior to it becoming Tameh. You were already restricted from eating it even before it became Tameh. When it came Tameh, it remains, that's what it says over here, Vitulo Paka. Once you have that Tuma, a Taguf, that makes you Chayav, Karet, for eating the Kodeshim, just because now the Kodeshim become Tameh, it's not going to all of a sudden eliminate or take away the restriction of eating Kodeshim, Vituma Taguf. So therefore, you have here now an Isur of Tumat Guf, and you're going to be Chayab Karet. B'mezid or B'shogeg, you're going to be Chayab Khatat. Kiplige, where they argue the Chachamim, Rabbi Yosef Galili, is B'nitma Basar, V'achakach Nitma Guf. Where your relationship with this Kodoshim was already problematic before you became Tameh. You already couldn't eat it, not because anything wrong with you, but because the Kodoshim themselves were Tmeim, and therefore you couldn't eat it. Then afterwards you have Tumat Guf, and that Tumat Guf is now trying to add on another Isser over here, which is consuming Kodoshim in Tumat Guf. Rabbanon Itlehu Isser Kolel, Demigo Demechayev HaChatichot Tehorot, Dealma, Mechayev Nami HaChatichat Tmeya. So the Rabbanon believe that in that case there's still Isser HaChalal Isser, because it's an Isser Kolel. When the Basar Kodoshim was Tamei, the only thing restricted to you was that Basar Kodoshim. When you now become Tamei Tumat Guf, not only can't you eat this piece, you can't eat any Kodoshim at all. So that's a classic case of Isser Kolel, and they say, but Isser Kolel, Isser is Chalal Isser, and that's why the Tumat Guf will be relevant here to something that is Basar Tamei. Rabbi Yosef Galili, let lay Isser Kolel. And Rabbi Yosef Galili believes that we don't have Isser Kolel, the Migo, the Lo Amrina. We don't say just because it became a sur for other Kodoshim, so too he will become a sur for this piece of Kodesh as well. The Chamim's logic is, if his Tumat Guf is successful and now restricting him in other items, we don't curtail that restriction and say it only applies to the Torah items. Once you're becoming Tamei, Migo, that you are now restricting the other items, you're also restricted in the item that was already restricted before, which is the Basar Kodeshim Tamei. Whereas Rabbi Yosef Galili believes that that's not strong enough, or that's not powerful enough to do that. Yes, with Tumat Guf, you're restricted in other Kodeshim. But that doesn't mean that your relationship with this piece of Kodeshim that was already restricted, it's going to change over here. You're still restricting it with Isur Lav, but you're not going to have an Isur Karet with it. It's not going to be a problem of Tumat Guf. The Gemara says, okay, Nehid Isur Kolo Leitle Be Isur Kal, Yavo Isur Chamor Yuchol Al Isur Kal. My Niu, Tumat Guf, Sharei Tumat Guf Be Karet. What is this Isur Chamor that we're speaking about? It's Tumat Guf, because Tumat Guf results in Karet, and not in just the Lav that you had before. Wait a minute. You're saying that Rabbi Yosef Galili is the author of the position that we brought before with regards to Gidin Hashem and Korbanot, where we said that Rabbi Yosef Galili believes that Ein Isur Chal Isur by Isur Kolel Ragil, but by an Isur Kolel Chamur, Rabbi Yosef Galili agrees that it does devolve. Because we said by Kodoshim and the case of Yashua Niskal, that there was an Isur Kolel Chamur, and in that case, it was able to have an Isur Chal Isur. Well, the same thing should be true over here as well. Here you have an Isur Chamur that is being an Isur Kolel. Until this point in time, the Basar that was Tameh of Kodesh, you were Chayav Malkot for eating it. Now you become Tameh B'Tumat Guf. That's an Isur Kolel. You've added on now additional pieces of Kodeshim that you are restricted on. But not only that, it's an Isur Karet now, not just an Isur Lav. So it's an Isur Chamur that is an Isur Kolel. You told us that Rabbi Yosef Galili believes by Isur Chamur it does work. So it's interesting, you're trying to bring a proof to us from Rabbi Yosef Galili's position with regards to Kodoshim that are Tmeim. Meantime, it actually goes against what you're saying. You said to us by Isur Kal, Rabbi Yosef Galili believes there is no Isur Kolel exception to Ein Isur Chal Isur. By Isur Chamur, there is an exception. You just brought us a case of Isur Chamur, and Rabbi Yosef Galili says Ein Isur Chal Al Isur. That goes against what you're saying. Amar Rav Ashi, Man Leimelan Tumat Guf Chamura. Who knows, or how do you know, that Tumat Guf is actually the more stringent of the two? Dilma Tumat Basar Chamura. Maybe the Tumat Basar is a more stringent or problematic type of Isur. Now, naturally, because Tumat Guf has Karet, and Tumat Basar has a Lav, you would have thought that automatically, Tumat Guf is more chamur, because it's karet. Karet is a stronger, more forceful punishment for someone who violated something, and we know that in the Torah, things that you violate that we think of on a higher level of kedusha, they result in karet. Things that are normal lavim just result in makot. But you also have a different problem, because maybe Tumat Basar's chamura, the late lay tahara b'mikveh. Once something becomes tamei, Tumat Basar, that's it. It's a permanent state that cannot be removed. On the other hand, when it comes to Tumat Guf, that's a temporary state, not a permanent state. So that is something that may be a kula over here. We're not so certain that Tumat Guf is really the Chumrah. Maybe Tumat Basar is the Chumrah. It depends what you put the dagesh on. It depends on what you focus on. You focus on the punishment, you're right. Tumat Guf is more Chamor. You focus on the permanence of whatever tumas here, then tumat basar is more chamor. So therefore, we consider it to be a flat isur, tumat aguf versus tumat basar. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili over there says, doesn't work. Ein isur chalal isur. We're suggesting now that Rabbi Yossi Aglili's position is, ein isur chalal isur. Isur kolel is not an exception to that rule. Isur kolel chamor is an exception to that rule. So now, we just tried to prove that Rabbi Yossi Aglili's position is that isur kolel doesn't work. Gemara challenged that and said, well, that doesn't sound like isur kolel there. It sounds like an isur kolel chamor. Gemara took away the chamor piece by saying that it's not clear that tumat aguf is chamor. Therefore, we know that Rabbi Yossi Aglili believes that isur kolel is not strong enough to make you chayav in the case where tumat aguf came after tumat basar. Rashi over here points out that Rabbi Yossi Aglili is not the only Tano that believes that ein isur chal isur by isur kolel. We also have the view of Rabbi Shimon, who throughout Shas is known for the fact that he believes ein isur chal isur, and isur kolel does not bring an exception to that. So why can't Rabbi Shimon be the author of this position of the Chachamim and not Rabbi Yossi Aglili? So Rashi over here says, because we know explicitly about Rabbi Shimon that he believes isur kolel doesn't work not only by an isur kal, but even by an isur chamur. And that is because a person who eats nevela on Yom HaKippurim, according to Rabbi Shimon, is chayav only for nevela, not for Yom HaKippurim. Because he believes that it's nisur kolel, and it doesn't help you for isur chalal isur. That shows you that even by an isur chamur of Yom Kippur, Rabbi Shimon believes that isur kolel does not help. The position of the Chachamim was that an isur kolel works when it's nisur chamur. So Rabbi Shimon is clearly not the author of that position. The reason we pick Rabbi Yossi Aglili is because we only know one piece of information about him. We know that by Isur Kal, he believes Isur Kolel doesn't work. We do not know what his opinion is by Isur Kolel Chamor, and therefore we make an assumption that he is the author of that position. Since we don't find him disagreeing with that position, we're going to assume that he does agree with it. Rabbi Shimon does disagree with that position, therefore he can't be the author. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who only corroborates the position of Isur Kolel Kal, does not work to have Isur Kal Isur, will make an assumption that he agrees when it's an Isur Chamor, that it does work, because we don't find any statement by Rabbi Yossi Aglili to the contrary. Gemara says, are you so certain that that's the view of Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Rabbi Yossi Aglili laid the Isur Kolel? Batanya! Don't we have a Braita where the Ein Isur Chalal Isur is one of the main locations or issues where Isur Chalal Isur comes up with regards to Yom HaKippurim? Anything that's Asur V'Achila for a different reason, once you reach Yom HaKippurim adds on additional Isurim, both in the stringency of the Isur, as well as the Kolel, the expansiveness of the Isur. So, anytime you discuss Isur Chal Isur, Yom Kippur always plays a prominent role because of that. So here you have a case of Shabbat V'Yom HaKippurim. Yom Kippur that came out on Shabbat coincided with Shabbat. Shagag V'Asa Melacha. If he b'shogeg did melacha, minayin shechayav al zeh be'atzmo, val zeh be'atzmo. How do you know that you're now chayav both for violating Shabbat and for violating Yom HaKippurim? Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says by Shabbat, Shabbat he, and by Yom Kippur it says Yom HaKippurim who? Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. You see that Rabbi Yossi Aglili believes that in a case of Shabbat and Yom HaKippurim, that they are both relevant by this case for Isur melacha, and you're going to be chayav for both the Shabbat and for Yom HaKippurim, because the pasuk says he, and the pasuk says who, which says, no matter what, you're going to be chayav for them, not one or the other. That's Rabbi Yossi Aglili's position. Rabbi Kiva Omer, you chayav alachat. You only chayav one. Question of which one, but you are chayav for one of them over here. Well, from there, it sounds like Rabbi Yossi Aglili believes that Isur Kolel does devolve. The problem with that is, we didn't bring a case of Isur Kolel. Over here we brought a case of Isur Bevat Achat, that they're happening simultaneously. And that's what Rashi notes over here. Behani Isur Bevat Achat Ninu. These Isurim of Shabbat and Yom Kippur are simultaneous. When the sun set on Friday afternoon, Shabbat started, and Yom Kippurim started. So the reason that they both devolve over here is because they are simultaneous, not because they are Isur Kolel. So he says, Miu, if Rabbi Yossi Aglili believes that an Isur Kolel or Isur Motzif are successful at devolving, then in this case also you'll be chayav for both of them. If one had come before the other, then they would have been successful at devolving. Because Shabbat, Legabe Yom HaKippurim, is an Isur Motzif. Yom Kippur is only a Chiyuv Karet. Shabbat involves a punishment of Sfilah. It's more Chamur. it's an Isur Mosif. And then if Yom Kippur came after Shabbat, then it's an Isur Kolel, because Yom Kippurim extends the problems of Yom Kippurim, not just to the issue of Melacha, it's also as an Isur Achila that is associated with it that you don't have on Shabbat. So you've added on to the Isur Melacha, now an Isur Achila. So if you were able to, in a sequential order, have them devolve, then also you would have them devolve Bevadachat. What Rashi says over here is that if you believe that Isur Kol and Isur Mosif are successful in a sequential way, then when they happen bevadachai, both of them can devolve. Because you could say each one of them would have been successful in a sequential basis to devolve, so therefore bevadachai, they both devolve. If they were unsuccessful in a sequential manner of then devolving, Rashi suggests over here that bevadachai, it would also be the same thing, which means that whichever one would have been able to be chal on the other one, that will take precedence, the other one will not. And you will only be chayav for one, not for both. So Rashi correlates the position of Isur Kolel and Isur Mosif with the individual's view that Isur Bevat Achat is chal. And therefore, when the Gemara here says that Rav Yosef Galili believes that Shabbat and Yom Kippurim are chal kachat, that's premised on this idea that he must believe that the Isur Kol and Isur Mosif work, otherwise he would not be chayav for Shtayim on Shabbat and Yom HaKippurim. So that's the assumption of the Gemara. In a second, the Gemara is going to unwind that, and Rashi is going to say that that opinion says that Isur Kol and Isur Batachat are not necessarily correlated, meaning that it's a machloket in the Gemara in Yevamot as to whether there is a connection between Isur Kolel and Isur Mosif and Bevadachat. Can Bevadachat stand alone? And that means that you can have an Isur Bechal Bevadachat even if you don't hold of Isur Kolel and Isur Mosif. Or are the two correlated? That's what Rashi says. You could have answered, according to Rabbi Yosef Galili, the Apagav the Isur Kolel lo chayel, Isur Bevadachat chayel. That even though Isur Kolel doesn't work, Bevadachat works, and you can explain this whole braita without having to do any fancy footwork. Miu. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina Savar, we're going to see Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina in 1 second, demand the late Isur Kolel, litle nami Isur Bevadachat. Anybody who doesn't have Isur Kolel, does not have Bevadachat, he sees them being as two sides of the same coin. So there's a big assumption here in the Gemara in bringing this question that Rashi notes, which is, if you believe that Isur Kolel doesn't work, or Isur Mosif doesn't work, then you also think Bevadachat doesn't work. And Rashi points out that that's not foolproof. You could have separated the two items out and said Mosif and Kolel are independent and they can't work, but Isur Bevadachat would work and you would solve all your problems with the Rabbi Yosef Galili. But because of the way that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina deals with it, shows you that he thinks that they're interconnected or correlated. The Bali HaTosafot on the previous Samud say Perisha Kuntris, and he says that the two are correlated, but ain't near other reed. Rashi Tosafot says, I don't think there's any such concept here. You could have easily separated the two over here. And there's no reason for the Gemara to bring a question about Bevadachat when it's looking for an issue of Isur Kolel. That means that there must be an issue of Isur Kolel over here. At this point, the Gemara is thinking, the Lav Isur Bevadachati, it is not a simultaneous Isur. Ela Chashiv Shabbat Kadim, Mishum the Kviya V'Kaimon. That Shabbat is considered to come first, because of the fact that it always is there. This is an answer the Gemara is going to give later on, and the Bali HaTosafot are saying that the Gemara is already there right now, thinking that this is not simultaneous, that Shabbat comes first, and then Yom Kippur comes second. If that's the case, it's clear that Rabbi Yosef Galili believes over here Isur Kolel works. Because the only reason that Yom Kippur's Isur would fall on Shabbat's Isur is if you believe Isur Kolel. Yom Kippur adds on Isur Achila over the Isur Melacha. So that's how they're proving that Rabbi Yosef Galili must hold of Isur Kolel. Malkasha, if that's true, then why do you need the pasuk of Shabbat Hi or Yom Kippurim Hu to teach you that Shabbat is devolving? Shabbat automatically would have come first, even without a pasuk. Shabbat would always be the Isur Yerchayim for Yom Kippur, it would be the Chiddush, that it teaches you Yom Kippurim Hu. But why do you need Shabbat Hi to teach you? The reason you would need Shabbat Hi is if you thought there was a Chiddush in Shabbat as well. So for Rashi, that's the fact that they both devolve Bevadachat. That's the Chiddush, that's why you need the Hi and the Hu. But according to the Ari, where Shabbat automatically goes in, it's just a question of Yom Kippur is added on top, all you would need is Yom Kippur Hu, you don't need the Shabbat Hi. So that's the problem Tosafot has with his reading of the Gemara. Obviously Rashi's reading the Gemara brings in an assumption here with regards to Iser Kolel's correlation with Iser Bevat Achat. Now, the Tosfot also asks, how do you know that this has application outside of Shabbat and Yom Kippur? You brought Sukkim. Shabbat he, Yom Kippur imu. How do you know that because by Shabbat and Yom Kippur, Iser Chal Iser, that applies everywhere else? Maybe this is the exception to the rule. That's why the Torah had to tell you about it. But also if it says no, because we're going to assume this is a paradigm. Once it's a paradigm, we're going to learn from it. Because there is an alternate paradigm. The alternate paradigm is by Truma. By Truma, if the Truma is Tehora, if the Kohen becomes Tamei and eats it, he's Chayav Mita Bidei Shemayim. If a Kohen is Tamei and he eats Truma Tmeya, he's not Chayav. So that would be a classic case of Ein Iser Chalal Iser. Because Truma was already Tmeya, and then he became Tamei Truma Taguf, you're unsuccessful at having that next Isur devolve upon the Isur of Truma Tmeya. And so thereby you see that Ein Iser Chal Iser, even B'malkom Iser Kolel. So you have one paradigm that says, no Iser Chal Iser by Iser Kolel. And then you have another paradigm saying that Iser Chal Iser by Iser Kolel. So Tosafot says, how do you know which one to use as the paradigm? The answer is, we always go the Chumrah. The Chumrah would be that Iser Chal Iser. So if I had a choice of using Yom Kippur and Shabbat as the paradigm, or Truma and Truma Tmeya as the paradigm, we're going to use Shabbat and Yom Kippur because they give you the more Chamur outcome, which is Iser Chal Iser. The Tosafot's suggestion is that this becomes paradigmatic in nature, Shabbat and Yom Kippur, and whatever Rabbi Yossi Glili holds over here is going to be true in all cases of Isur Chal Al Isur. Tosafot's a little bothered by Rabbi Akiva's position here that you're only Chayav Achat, because we find in other places that Rabbi Akiva believes that Isur Chal Al Isur by Isur Kolel, and certainly Bevat Achat, it should be Chal. So then why over here is Rabbi Akiva holding that it is an Isur Achat? The Tosfot over here tells us something that's important with regards to Ein Iser Chal Al Iser, which is, even if you believe by Chulin Ein Iser Chal Al Iser, by Kodoshim, everybody believes Iser Chal Al Iser. And therefore, even though Rabbi Kiva and other places has a din of Iser Chal Al Iser, but those are cases of Kodoshim, it does not necessarily enlighten us as to his opinion with regards to Chulin. And because everybody agrees by Kodoshim there's Iser Chal Al Iser, but not necessarily by Chulin. And that's why you can't prove anything from Rabbi Akiva's position over there to his view over here, and it's not a stira in the view of Rabbi Akiva. Although the Rabbeinu Shmuel Mevardon then asks on a Gemara that's coming up on Daf Kufyud Gimel, where Rabbi Akiva seems to hold, according to the Gemara, of Isur Chalos Isur, even by Chulin. Now, that will work out well, according to the conclusion of the Gemara, that we're going to flip their positions. And Rabbi Akiva does hold the Isur Chal Al Iser. He's the one who's going to say that you're actually Chayav Shtayim. Nevertheless, the Rabbi Shmuel Bevardon says that's not a good enough answer. Because the Gemara here does not flip their positions because of the question that Rabbi Akiva really holds of Isur Chal Al Iser. They flip it because of Rabbi Yossi Aglili's issues over here and for other unrelated items. And he wants to know, why doesn't the Gemara bring up the fact that Rabbi Akiva can't have the position of Ein Isur Chal Al Iser? So again, in the conclusion, it works out that Rabbi Akiva is the Shita Toh, that Iser Chal Al Iser, but Rabbi Shmuel Bevardon is bothered by the fact that the Gemara doesn't raise that as being a secondary problem with the Braita. Not only is there a problem for Rabbi Yossi Aglili's position, it is also a problem for Rabbi Akiva's position. Another way to deal with the question of the Baalei Tosafot is given by the Ramban and the Ran, which is that this is an unusual case over here with regards to it only be Chayav here one, even though in general Rabbi Akiva believes Iser Chal Al Iser. And that's because of the exceptional nature of the Isur Melocha on Yom HaKippurim. And that is because Yom HaKippurim is also called Shabbat Shabbaton, like Shabbat. And therefore the Isur Melocha on Shabbat and Yom Kippur are really overlapping. It's really only one Isur. It's the same Isur. And that's why Rabbi Akiva believes you're a Chayav Achat in this instance, even though in other situations he would believe Isur Chal Al Iser. And that way you could actually relieve the questions that the Baalei Tosafot asked, both in the beginning as well as from Shmuel Bevardon. Now the Gemara says, Sholoch Ravin Mishum Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Chanina, Kach Hatzah Shel Mishnah. Eino Chanami, the Mishnah, as you stated it, is correct. Meaning that this is the Mishnah, but this is the way you gotta lay it out. Or this is the way you gotta explain it. Ve'epuch. Flip their positions. So the Mishnah itself you are correct about. The attribution is what's wrong in the Mishnah. And really the first position is Rabbi Akiva who says, Erchayav Shtayim. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili is the one who says, you ain't chayav ela achat, you only chayav one. So, again, for Rashi, that means that if you only chayav one, bevat achat, that means that Iser Kolel doesn't work. Because if Isra Kola worked, you would have been chayav for both of them when it happens bevat achad. And again, Rashi notes, you could have answered that there's no correlation between Isra bevat achad and Isra Kola. The fact that they didn't answer that way shows you that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Chanina believes the two are correlated. And if the two are correlated, then you can't say that Barachat works and Isra Kola doesn't work. Or for Tosafot, now we're saying that Shabbat came before Yom HaKippurim, that's why you're chayav only for one. Because Shabbat came first, Yom Isra Kola doesn't help you to get Yom HaKippurim into the mix over here. Shalach Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yaakov bar Geure Mishum Rabbi Yochanan, L'divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili, L'mai D'Apchon, according to the way now that we flipped the Breito. And now Rabbi Yossi Aglili is the one who says Yochayav Achat. And Rabbi Kiv is the one who says Yochayav Shtayim, Shagag B'Shabbat Ve'zid B'Yom HaKippurim. If it turned out that you were Shogeg, you forgot it was Shabbat and you did the Malacha, but you remembered it was Yom Kippur. So you're amazing for Yom Kippur. You are a Shogeg, the Gabe Shabbat. Then you're going to be Chayav a Chatat. Because Shabbat B'Shogeg results in a Chatat, Hezid B'Yom HaKippurim is Karet. You might be Chayav Karet and you maybe get Malkot for that. But as far as a Korban is concerned, you're only Chayav for a Shabbat in that case because it was Shabbat B'Shogeg. Hezid B'Shabbat, if the situation was reversed and you knew it was Shabbat and you did the Malacha anyway, B'Shogeg Yom HaKippurim, but you forgot it was Yom Kippur, there you'd be Patur. You would not bring a Chatat for that. So even though Yom Kippur is a Chiyuv Karet, that means if you did it B'Shogeg, you should be a Chayav a Chatat. Nevertheless, it doesn't work over here. My taima. What's the reason that we're saying this? Amar Abaye, Shabbat Kviya V'Kaima, Yom HaKippurim, Bedina Kokobile. The difference between the nature of Shabbat and the nature of Yom HaKippurim. If you have to pick, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says your Chayav won. It said Shabbat and Yom Kippur coincided, and your Chayav won. How do you know which one you're Chayav for? So Rabbi Yochanan comes along and tells us the answer. You're Chayav for Shabbat, you're not Chayav for Yom HaKippurim. Because in a case where you were mazin on Yom Kippur, Shogeg B'Shabbat, we say you do bring a Chatat for the Shabbat. In the case where you were mazin on Shabbat, Shogeg by Yom HaKippurim, you don't bring a Chatat. That means the one that you are Chayav for is Shabbat, and not Yom HaKippurim. Again, if they both were Shogeg, you'd get one Chatat. We just want to know, is the Chatat for Yom Kippur or for Shabbat? Once you set it up this way, we know that you believe that the one is for Shabbat and not for Yom Kippur. So that means you think that the Easter that's Chal over here is Shabbat, and Yom Kippur is unsuccessful as an Easter Kolel devolving upon Shabbat. It's not more Chamur. It's actually on a lower level than Shabbat, or only on plane with Shabbat. And if that's the case, then there's no Easter Kolel according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and therefore you're left with only one Easter, the Easter of Shabbat. But that implies that the Easter of Shabbat was the first Easter that happened over here. Because you can only have an Easter Kolel in a situation in which Shabbat was first, and then you're trying to add on the additional Easter afterwards of Yom HaKippurim. Where do you see that Shabbat is first? That is Abaye's answer, which is the classic understanding of the Gemara in Beitza, which is that Shabbat happens automatically. Every 7 days, Shabbat happens, whether we do anything or whether we do nothing. Even if you're not Mekadesh the Shabbat will happen automatically. That means that Shabbat is in place from now to eternity every 7 days. There's always Shabbat. Shabbat is already Kodesh. Then when it comes to the holidays, that requires a Kiddush Beit Din. If Beit Din is not Mekadesh, the holidays are not Kiddushim. It requires an act of Beit Din in order to be Mekadesh, the Kodesh, which precipitates then the date upon which these holidays fall. And so, indirectly, they are actually establishing all the holidays. And that's why the Gemara Beitza says, we say on Shabbat, at the closing of the Bracha, Mekadesh HaShabbat, because Shabbat is Kiddusha V'Kaima, something that exists irrespective of our interaction with it. On the other hand, when it comes to Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh, we say it like today, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Roshei Chodeshim, or Mekadesh Yisrael V'Azmanim, because we are the ones who effectively create the Kiddusha. Or another way to frame it is, Shabbat is every 7 days, it doesn't change. So therefore, it's Shabbat irrespective of us. Yom Tov is really on a weekday. It's on a Yom Chol. You're trying to convert a Yom Chol into a Yom Kodesh. That doesn't happen automatically. You have to somehow insert or apply Kedusha above and beyond what is the normal day. Otherwise, it's a weekday. And so in order to change it from a weekday to a holiday, you have to somehow infuse it with Kedusha. Given that, Shabbat is always first. Because Shabbat's Kedusha or the fact that Shabbat will come is already pre-established, pre-ordained from the beginning of time. Yom Tov requires each month's Kiddush HaKodesh Ayidei Beit Din, and therefore it only happens afterwards. So that means the Issur of Shabbat was first, the Issur of Yom Kippur comes afterwards. So that's why Rabbi Yossi HaGlili thinks you're only Chayav one, because he doesn't think Issur Kola works, and the one that he thinks you're Chayav is Shabbat, because Shabbat is Kodemet, happens first. Now, what's interesting about this suggestion of Abaye is that it might be what precipitates an unusual position of the Rabbad in the Vamot Lamed Gimel. It's quoted over there by the Ramban and the Rashba, as well as in the Gemara Kedushin on Daf Ayin Zayin by the Ritva, that there is this view in the Rabbad that the din of Isser Chalal Isser in time sequence, so most people believe that it has to do with the object itself. When did this object become Asur? Let's say for Yom Kippur, and when did it become Asur for Neveva? So in a case where the animal dies on Yom Kippur, the Isser of Yom Kippur came first on this animal, then the Isser of Neveva devolved upon this animal in the middle of Yom Kippur, and vice versa. If the Isser of Neveva was there first, it died before Yom Kippur, then the restriction of Neveva is there before the Isser of Yom Kippur on this animal in particular. That's the way the Ramban and many of the other Rishonim believe that is the way that you look at sequential. But the Rabbat has a different view. We saw inklings of this in the Rabbeinu Gershom in yesterday's daf, that he says it has to do with time in general. It's not about you in particular vis-a-vis this animal. It's a question of when this Isser applies to you in time. That means that when a person becomes bar mitzvah, automatically he's a sur bin nevela, any nevela in the world. Your relationship with this Isser takes place before your relationship with the Isser of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur's Isser only applies when you get to Yom HaKippurim. So, Isser Nevela always precedes Yom HaKippurim. And that means that even if the animal dies on Yom Kippur itself, still the Isser Nevela is first, because the Isser Nevela applied to you before the Isser of Yom Kippur applied to you. And that might be the same thing with regards to Shabbat and Yom Tov. The Isser of Shabbat applies to the individual before the Isser of Yom Tov ever applies to the individual, because Shabbat is via the Kaima, is always there and is always kadosh, as opposed to Yom Tov, which Beitin has to be mekadesh it every time it comes around. Given that, the person's relationship with Shabbat is that the Isser of Shabbat always is relevant to the individual before the Isser of Yom Tov takes place. And this might be part of that source for that view, or that unusual view of the Rabbat, again, which all the other Rishonim reject and say that the time sequence here has to do with the object itself, not about your relationship to the Isser in general, or time sequential in general, like the Rabbeinu Gershom suggested yesterday, that the Isser of Gidon Asheh came before Mamad Har Sinai, and therefore was before the Isser of Behemat Me'ah. Now, Rabbi Akiva disagrees and says that you have Shnei Yisurim over here. In all likelihood, Rabbi Akiva has to believe one of two things. Either Rabbi Akiva has to believe that Isser Bevat Achat, they're happening simultaneously, and therefore they are devolving both of them, the Isserim happen together. Or, you have to say that Rabbi Akiva believes that Isser Kolo is successful at putting another Isser on top of the Isser of Shabbat, that the Isser of Yom Tov now will sit on top of the Isser of Shabbat. So that means that Rabbi Akiva believes Isser Chalal Isser. Tosva brings in an unrelated item with regards to the Shita of Rabbi Akiva over here, and just notes that Rabbi Akiva is of a belief that if Eino Shav Midiato, someone who violates and doesn't change his mind when he finds out the information, then he can't bring a Korban Chatat, because Eino Shav Midiato, he doesn't change his mind, he doesn't change his position when he knows the information. Given that by Shabbat he is amazing, and by Yom HaKippurim he is Bishogeg, then why over here, according to Rabbi Akiva, are you going to be Chayav for both of them? Meaning that you're going to be Chayav for Yom Kippur in this instance, because according to Rabbi Akiva, if he's Eino Shav Midiato, you're not going to be Chayav. And Shabbat is more Chamor. If he's not Shav Midiato, why does he bring a Chatat for Yom Kippur? So Tosafot says something very interesting. He says, even though Shabbat is more Chamor because of its punishment of Skila, nevertheless, Techamir Le Yom HaKippurim Lefishe Yom Kapara Mechila. People view Yom HaKippurim in a higher light or more stringency because it's the day of Kapara Mechila, which we know, unfortunately, today is the practice of many individuals who don't care or don't keep Shabbat all year round. Once a year, they show up in shul on Yom Kippur. You see that Yom Kippur does have that standing in people's minds. Even though Shabbat is more chamor, in people's minds, Yom Kippur is more chamor. For that reason, when the person does not do tshuva for Shabbat, that doesn't mean that they don't feel differently about Yom Kippurim. For that reason, you can bring a korban according to Rabbi Akiva. Amar le Rabba. Rabba then says to Abaye, Sof sof, tarvayu bahade hadodi katu. Your explanation is cute, but it doesn't solve the problem. Because in the end, when it comes to reality, Shabbat and Yom Kippur happen at the same moment. Which is, you're right, in terms of, if I take a step back, Shabbat was in place before Yom Kippur was in place. Conceptually, yes, that's true. But when it comes to sunset on that Friday night, sunset brings in Shabbat and Yom Tov. Doesn't matter how or when they were Kadosh, but it means that at that point in time, there was a trigger that turned on Shabbat and Yom Kippur at the same time. And then according to Rashi, the explanation of Rava now is that the machlok between Rabbi Yossi HaGlili and Rabbi Akiva is a question about Kolel and Mosi, which is of korcha ki patalei Rabbi Yossi HaGlili mishum tekazavar came into Kolel Mosi ein yisur chalal yisur. Since he believes by yisur kolel and yisur Mosi it doesn't work, then by yisur vatachat nami lo mechayev el achado. So therefore by vatachat you can only be chayev one. And the explanation of the Braita then according to Rava would be simply the machloket as to whether vatachat works or doesn't work to overcome Isur Kalal Isur. Rabbi Akiva says, yes, it does work. And therefore, since Isur Kol and Mosif work, so does Batachat. And according to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, since Isur Kol and Mosif don't work on a Kal level, therefore Isur Batachat doesn't work as well. Now be their machloket. So if you are a Mezin in one of them, then the other one is a Shogeg, and that Shogeg should be Mechayev you in at least one Isur over here. It shouldn't matter which one you're mazed in, the other one should provide a chatat. Because yes, bevat achat, you can't have both of them result in a chatat, but at least one of them should be chayav a chatat. And therefore, it doesn't matter whether the mazed was a Yom Kippur, mazed is a Shabbat, you should be a chayav a chatat. Then, how do you explain that position of Rabbi Yitzchak that differentiated between Yom Kippur and Shabbat? That explanation is the following. Ella Amarova, Rova says, Shmodo Havo. That year was a Gzerat HaShmat. And the whole situation arose from Gzerat HaShmat. Now Rashi at this point says why he doesn't believe that Tosafot's explanation is correct. Tosafot said that the Gemara's assumption until now was Shabbat came first, then Yom Kippur. And that's why the Gemara's proof against Rabbi Yossi HaGlili is from Shabbat and Yom Kippur. Because it was Nisr Kolel, Shabbat was first, like the conclusion of the Gemara over here. So that's why the Gemara thought it was a problem. Rashi says you can't say that because the Kashli B'Gavad, right? Tosafot's explanation is difficult. The Kamoti Rava, the Kaman, Rabbi Yitzchak, the Batad Abchua, Sof Sof, Tavayu B'Hadei HaDodi Katu. Because Rava in the end says, they happen simultaneously. If they happen simultaneously, what's Rava's question of Rabbi Yitzchak's explanation over here? You already had explanation in the Gemara that Rabbi Yossi HaGlili believes they're not B'Vadachat, that they're sequential. So then what's Rava saying they are together? Rabbi Yossi HaGlili clearly doesn't believe that they are together, he believes that they're sequential. For that reason, Rashi rejects Tosafot's explanation and says his explanation that Barachat and Kolel are correlated, and that's what the question stemmed from. Shalcho mitam to Yom Kippuri, the Hashata Shabtohu. And they sent from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel that Yom Kippur should be kept on Shabbat. V'chein, Kiata Rabin, when Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael, V'chon Nechutei, and all those that traveled Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amruah Kirova. They explained the situation like Rova, that it was an exceptional case whereby it was a Gzeret HaShmad. So Gzeret HaShmad, according to Rashi, is that the authorities were gozer that you may not keep Yom Kippurim. So they weren't allowed to keep Yom Kippur that year. It was too dangerous to keep Yom Kippur. So Rashi claims that they didn't keep Yom Kippur, they just put Yom Kippur on Shabbat. Because lo tishtakach Yom Kippurim. So people don't forget the din of Yom Kippur. So they said, you know what, if we do Yom Kippur and Shabbat aren't much different. There's already an Isur Malacha. The authorities won't realize that we're keeping Yom Kippur because we're doing it for Shabbat. They didn't go there on Shabbat, they only go there on Yom Kippur. So we'll just keep Yom Kippur on Shabbat on that year. It obviously was not the right date for Yom Kippur. And as the Baalei Tosafot will point out, even though the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that if Beit Din is Koveya Yom Kippur, afilu mezidim, even if they do it intentionally on the wrong day, they are successful at doing it. That's only they mess up the calendar, which is that they move the dates in the calendar, they move Rosh Chodesh in the calendar, even if they do it intentionally, even if they do it by mistake, then it works, and the day is Kadosh. What they can't do is, once the day was already established, that Yom Kippur was the 10th of the month, and then say, no, we're going to do it on the 13th, that doesn't work. You can't do that and say, but Mezidim, it still works. Mezidim only works if they can set the wrong date. Okay, they can move the 10th of Tishrei around by moving Rosh Chodesh around. What they can't do is move Yom Kippur from the 10th to the 13th. So that's why in this case, Yom Kippur really didn't happen. What they're saying is, according to Rashi, is that Yom Kippur couldn't happen this year because of the Gzeirat HaShemad. So now we need to do something to remember Yom Kippur. How do we remember Yom Kippur? On Shabbat, we're going to also keep Yom Kippur. Even though it's not Yom Kippur, we're going to keep Yom Kippur this year in order that people don't forget about Yom Kippur. They don't lose this track of Yom Kippur because of the Gzeirat HaShemad. Anytime you had Gzeirat HaShemad, you always have to worry about duration, which is, it's fine. If it happens one year, you don't need to do that. But there could be times where these last for many years, and there'll be children who grow up who have no semblance of Yom Kippur. So you have to do something Zeicha the Yom Kippur, so the people who are growing up also know that there's a concept of Yom Kippur, or there is a Yom Kippur. So that's why they did it in this year, which means that the day of Shabbat was not really Yom Kippur. And that's why you have a position of Rabbi Yitzchak that differentiated between Yom Kippur and Shabbat. Because it was only Shabbat, it wasn't Yom HaKippurim. And that's why he said differentiated between Yom Kippur and Shabbat. Now Rashi at this point says why he doesn't believe that Tosafot's explanation is correct. Tosafot said that the Gemara's assumption until now was Shabbat came first, then Yom Kippur. And that's why the Gemara's proof against Rabbi Yosef Galili is from Shabbat and Yom Kippur, because it was an Easter Kolel, Shabbat was first, like the conclusion of the Gemara over here. So that's why the Gemara thought it was a problem. Rashi says you can't say that, because the Kashli Begavad, right? Tosafot's explanation is difficult. The Kamoti Rova, the Kaman, Rabbi Yitzchak, the Batad Abchus, Sof Sof, Tavayu Bahadei Hadodi Katu. Because Rova in the end says, they happen simultaneously. If they happen simultaneously, what's Rova's question of Rabbi Yitzchak's explanation over here? You already had explanation in the Gemara that Rabbi Yosef Galili believes they're not Bavadachat, that they're sequential. So then what's Rova saying? They are together. Rabbi Yosef Galili clearly doesn't believe that they are together, he believes that they're sequential. For that reason, Rashi rejects Tosafot's explanation, and says his explanation that Barachat and Kolel are correlated, and that's what the question stemmed from. Alright, so now the bigger problem you have is, isn't there a din in the Gemara and Sanhedrin that compare Ben and Sarera Moreh, Yehareg, Ve'al Yavor? There are the three cardinal sins for which you cannot violate them, you have to give up your life. And there's also a din there that's brought there, which is Gzeret HaShemad. During Gzeret HaShemad, you have to give up your life for any mitzvah, even the smallest mitzvah, not just for the three cardinal sins. What do you mean they were suspending Yom HaKippurim over here? That doesn't make so much sense that they're suspending Yom Kippur, because you should have had to keep Yom Kippur and give up your life for Yom Kippur in that given year. So the Farshim explain over here one of two possibilities. One possibility explained that the restriction of Gzeret HaShemad was on the being Mekadesh the Chodoshim. And since Kiddush HaKodesh is only a mitzvah to say, there's no din of Yehareg Ve'al Yavor in a mitzvah to say, it's only on a mitzvah lo taseh. So therefore they were able to not be Mekadesh the Chodoshim. And a derivative of that is when you're not Mekadesh the Chodoshim, they're also not Mekadesh the Moadim. The only way Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur is if Beit Din was Koveya Rosh Chodesh. After Mekadesh Rosh Chodesh, then Yom Kippur falls out on the 10th of the month, and then you have to keep Yom Kippur. If Beit Din is not Mekadesh the Chodesh, then Yom Kippur would not necessarily be Chal. And therefore, Yom Kippur would be suspended that year because they were never Mekadesh Yom Kippur. If Beit Din is not Mekadesh the Chodesh, then the Moadot are not Mekudash. And therefore Yom Kippur was not Kadosh that year, and that's why it wasn't a problem to quote unquote move around Yom Kippur or not celebrate Yom Kippur on that year. This is what some suggest over here, is that the Shalchu Mitam means from Eretz Yisrael they sent to Bavel, they couldn't send the message clearly that Yom Kippur this year was going to fall out on Shabbat because of the fact that it was a Gzeret HaShemad. So what they did was they sent a coded message. They sent the information in a cryptic style, which is Minayim Shechayav al Zeh Be'atzmo Be'al Zeh Be'atzmo. How do you know you're Chayav? That Breitah that was being sent was a message to indicate that it was going to be Shabbat and Yom Kippur were going to coincide on that year because they were presenting a halachic problem, which then indicated that that was going to be the situation this year. And if that's true, then Rova is rejecting Rabbi Yitzchak's differentiation between Yom Kippur and Shabbat, and he would believe that then in the case of Mezid and Shogeg, Rabbi Yossi would agree, in both those cases, you're Chayave Chatat for the other situation. And before we said Rova was explaining Rabbi Yitzchak by saying it was a Gzeret HaShemad. And this way, according to the Ramban, the Gzeret HaShemad of Rova rejects Rabbi Yitzchak outright, and says that the problem that year was that they were trying to send the information through those views in the Braita, but that means that Eino Chanami, if it was Mezi B'Shabbat or Mezi B'Yom Kippur and Shogeg in the other one, then you would be Chayav HaChatat in both those situations. And Rabbi Yitzchak is wrong in his view over here that it only applies to Mezi B'Yom Kippur, Shogeg B'Shabbat, and not the other way around. That means that there really was Yom Kippur on Shabbat. If that's the case, then Rava's statement over here that Amar Rava Shmadava is actually rejecting outright Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hanina's assumption over here that Bavat Achat and Kolel are correlated. And he's actually arguing on that position because now he's saying that Shabbat and Yom Kippur did coincide. And that is what Rabbi Yossi Galili was speaking about. And you are Chayav Shtayim over there because of the fact that it was Yom Kippur and Shabbat Bavat Achat. And therefore, according to the Ramban, Rava does not believe in the Ipuch. He does not flip the Bright around and believes that the Rav Yossi Galili and the Bright believes that you're Chayav Shtayim. And that's not a contradiction to his position because he differentiates between Bat Achat, where you are Chayav Shtayim, and Rav Yossi Galili's position with regards to Isur Kolel, where it doesn't work and you'll only be Chayav Achat. And in that way, he avoids the whole problem that Rashi raised with the explanation of the Bali HaTosafot, that Rabbi Yossi's position is premised on Kaviyah V'Kaimah, and therefore, how does Rav have a question on Rabbi Yitzchak? Because Rabbi Yitzchak is following Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, who says that Shabbat came before Yom Tov, and Rav believes they came simultaneously. The answer is that Rav doesn't think Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina is correct at all. And that's why he's rejecting the whole thing. It's not a question of Rabbi Yitzchak, it's a question of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. And he thinks you don't have to flip the Braita. And the explanation is that there is a distinction between Bat Achat and Isur Kolel. And the reason that they flipped the Braita is not because of what Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina said to change the attribution, but rather to send that cryptic message to the Gola, because they wanted Rabbi Akiva's position to be Chayav Shtayim, to show that Shabbat and Yom Kippur were coinciding, because the Loch is always like Rabbi Akiva. And that was the message in the Braita to flip it because of the Gezeirat Hashmad, and the message was in that, but not that they really meant to flip the Braita, or that halachically you should flip the Braita around. Alright. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, lo mi bnei Yaakov. Don't we have a proof from bnei Yaakov that they were asurim migidin asher, even though they could eat non-kosher animals? So you see that gidin asher applies by non-kosher animals. That's Rabbi Yehuda's claim against the Chachamim. So Tanya, here we have in a Braita the response of the Chachamim to Rabbi Yehuda. Amar lo the Rabbi Yehuda. The pasuk doesn't say that Bnei Yaakov will not eat the Gidin Asher. Halo lo neemar ela Bnei Yisrael. Alkein lo yuchlu Bnei Yisrael et Gidin Asher. Velo nikru Bnei Yisrael at Sinai. Bnei Yisrael only get their name, Bnei Yisrael. They're really a nation that is called Bnei Yisrael at Har Sinai. So that means that the Isur that's written here was not at the time of Bnei Yaakov. It was at the time of Sinai. Elo b'Sinai neemar. This issue was said at Sinai, Shinichta bim komo. Lay there, Ezotam Nesalem. But it was contextually written in location, so you would understand where the Issur of Gidin Asher derives from. The fact that it termed it, or it addressed it towards Bnei Israel, shows you that it was a tzibur that happened at Har Sinai, not a tzibur that happened to the Bnei Yaakov. Where it says, Meitiv Rovo, is that really true? Later on in Breshit, it says, Veisu Bnei Israel at Yaakov Aviyem. When they're carrying Yaakov to bury him in Eretz Yisrael, it says, Vayisul b'nei Yisrael et Yaakov aviyem. They were carrying their father Yaakov, and he calls the b'nei Yaakov b'nei Yisrael. So you see that the term b'nei Yisrael applies to the b'nei Yaakov. So how are you telling me now that b'nei Yisrael only refers to Sinai, could refer to b'nei Yaakov? So it says, la'achar maseh. That's after the incident. At the time of the incident, Yaakov's name is known as Yaakov. At Har Sinai, Bnei Israel are clearly known as Bnei Israel. There seems to be this interim period where Bnei Yaakov become Bnei Israel, which is in the case where they're carrying their father down to Mitzrayim, and it calls them Bnei Israel. So, as Rashi notes over here, the Bnei Tosfot would say the same thing, which is, Achar Maseh means after the fight with the angel. Even though the Malach calls him Israel right before that pasuk's written in the incident, that's not officially his name change until it happens later on in Parshat Vayishlach. Hashem appears to him and says, "Yom Elokim Shimcha Yaakov LeYikreish Shimcha Od Yaakov Kim Yisrael Yesh Mecha." By Yikreish Shmo Yisrael, that's the official name change. The Malach was just predicting that that would happen in the future, not that he was actually changing his name at that point in time. That would then mean that the Bnei Yisrael in the pasuk in the beginning of Vayishlach can't be referencing to Bnei Yaakov, because they only became known as Bnei Yisrael at a later point in time, not at the time of the incident. Amar lei, Ravacha Brei, the Ravashi, Mehaishata Litzar. So now, you came up with a great answer. Yes, Bnei Yaakov were called Bnei Yisrael only at a much later time. But once they become known as Bnei Yisrael, they should be Asur and Gid and Asher. Says Al Kenlu Yaakov Bnei Yisrael and Gid and Asher. So now, once they're known as Bnei Yisrael, it should already be effective on them, meaning because now they're known as Bnei Yisrael. Is it true that Torah was given time and time again, meaning that there are multiple times that's given? That wasn't the time of the Maaseh, and that wasn't the time of Matan Torah. Meaning the incident by Bnei Yisrael carrying Yaakov Avim down to Mitzrayim, or when Hashem changes Yaakov's name later on in Parshat Vayishlach, is not at Har Sinai, it's pre-Har Sinai, but it's also post the incident of the Gidon Asher. So it's almost suspended in time. How can you now tell them that they're now Asur in Gidon Asher? You have to pick. Either it was said at the time that Yaakov was injured, and then it says, Al Koyin Lo Yochul B'nei Yisrael Gidon Asher, and they're not called Bnei Yisrael. And so if they're not called Bnei Yisrael at that time, it's not applicable to them. Now they become called Bnei Yisrael at some later time. All of a sudden, it's applicable to them. There's no, quote-unquote, giving of the Torah at that time. There's no tzibuyim being demanded of them at that time. Har Sinai is the time when that happened, and at the incident, it could have been true as well. But this happened somewhere in between that incident and Har Sinai. You can't all of a sudden have a tzibuy become a tzibuy at that moment. Tarabanan. Abram in Achai, Noheg Bibema, Chayav Ba'of, Ben Tmeim, Ben Torim, Divri Rabbi Yehuda, Divri Rabbi Elazar. So Abram in Achai applies to an animal, Achayan and Oaf, whether they're kosher or whether they're not kosher. Chachamim Orim, Enoheg Ala Betorim. The Chachamim say it only applies to kosher animals. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ushneim Mikra Achat Darshu. Their source is from a single pasuk. Rak Chazak, Bevilti Achol Adam, Ki Adam Hu Banefesh. Hold yourselves back. Strengthen yourselves. Don't eat the blood of the animal because the dam is the life force of the animal. And then it says, Lo tochal nefesh im basar. Don't eat the life force with the basar. So now, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Sabre, Kol she'atam mitzuveh al damo, atam mitzuveh al evarav. Then you'll be commanded about the evarim of the animal. Which means that a kosher animal, not allowed to eat its blood. Non-kosher animal, not allowed to eat its blood. So just like the Adam is Adam hu anefesh, lo tochal anefesh ima basar, which is the restriction against Abram and Achai that also mentions nefesh, is correlated with the nefesh of the Dam. So just like Dam or the Easter of Dam applies to kosher and non-kosher animals, so too Abram and Achai applies to kosher and non-kosher animals. Bahane tmeim nami. These non-kosher animals, hova atam mitzuvel daman, since you're not allowed to eat their blood, atam mitzuvel evarin. You're also chayav for evar mina chai. Rabbanan sabre lo tochala nefesh ima basar. You're not allowed to eat the nefesh with the basar. Ela basar lochudei. But just the basar itself. You can't eat the basar when the life force is in the basar. That's evar mina chai. On the other hand, if you eat the basar alone, it would be fine. That implies that this animal otherwise could have been eaten. The only problem here is evar mina chai. That means kol shebasaro mutar, atam mitzuvel eivarav. Anything that you can eat the basar, then there's an issue of Yevir Minachai. Kol shebasaro mutar, atam mitzuvel eivarav. And anytime if your basar is restricted to you, then you're not chayav for Yevir Minachai. So they're both learning it from the same pasuk. Question what you put the emphasis on. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar put the emphasis on the nefesh aspect of it. Just like nefesh is a reference to dam, it's also a reference to the Yevir Minachai, and there's a correlation between them. There's an Isur Dam, there's an Isur Eivar Minachai. So kosher and non-kosher animals have an Isur Dam, so they also have an Isur Eivar Minachai. The Chamin put the emphasis on the Basar. Lo tochal nefesh ima basar. It has to do with what the status of the Basar is, ex the nefesh problem. If a Basar was mutar, absent the nefesh problem, then there's a nefesh problem if you eat it Eivar Minachai. If absent the nefesh problem, you couldn't eat the Basar anyway, the nefesh doesn't add anything for you over here. You're already restricted in the item. So that's the machloket. The Gemara wants to know, V'Rabbi Yehuda, lama leikra. Why does Rabbi Yehuda need a pasuk to teach you this? V'leite iser eiver, v'lichol al iser tuma. Why don't you have it here that the animal that's not kosher will then have eiver minachai devolve upon it. Because we know that Rabbi Yehuda's logic by Gita Nashe is, even though the animal is behemats meah, is an animal that is not kosher, which already becomes problematic in utero, and then only when it's born is the Gita Nashe problem, which means Gita Nashe happens after the Isur Nevela takes place. And nevertheless, he says it works because, the Gemara said before, it's Isuro is Chamor because it applies to a Ben Noach. It doesn't just apply to Jews. Gita Nashe has application by Ben Noach, and therefore Isur Chalal Isur, even though generally no Isur Chalal Isur, here's an exception because you have the Isur Chamor because Ben Noach has application of Gita Nashe. Why don't you say the same thing over here? By Isur Eber Menachai, Shekein Isuro Noach B'Bnei Noach. Eber Menachai applies not only to Jews, but also to non-Jews. Non-Jews are not allowed to eat Eber Menachai. If that's the case, then even though the Beimatz Me'ah took place first, it was a non-kosher animal first, nevertheless, Eber Menachai should still have application over here because it's an Isur Chamor, because it applies to Ben Noach. So why does Rabbi Yehuda need a Pasuk to teach you the fact that Eber Menachai applies on top of Beimatz Me'ah, or that you'll be in violation of both of them? That would have been an outcome of Rabbi Yehuda's position, irrespective of the pasuk. Tosfot just asks over here, how do you know that the psukim over here are not Rabbi Yehuda's source for the fact that an Isur that involves Bnei Noach is something that's considered to be an Isur Chamor and an Isur Chal Isur? Maybe this is the source for his position. That's why he needs the psukim. The Bali Tosafot say over here, and this is what I mentioned before, the sheet of the Bali Tosafot, that it can't be that this is the paradigm. Because over here, it is a sword to all of Bnei Noach. Eber Menachai applies to all Bnei Noach. Whereas the Isur of Gidon Asher, according to the Bali Tosafot, only applies to Bnei Yaakov. So if you learned it from here, it wouldn't teach you anything about Gidon Asher, because this might be more chamor, because it applies to all Bnei Noach, versus the case of Gidon Asher, which only applies to Bnei Yaakov. I said, then, Ochanami, you're right about that. There were two people who had that opinion in the Brayta that we brought. One was Rabbi Yehuda, and one was Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yehuda, you're right. It's because of Isur Chalal Isur by Ben Noach. That already is enough to make it Chayav Hishtayim. Rabbi Elazar's reasoning is from the Pasuk, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan was explaining. Rabbi Elazar's position, not Rabbi Yehuda's position. Tanya Nami Ochi, of a Brayta that supports that understanding. Eber Menachai Noeg Bebeima Chayav Ho Ben Tmeya Ben Torah Shnemar Rak Chazak Bilo Bilti Achol Adam Kol Sheata Mitzuvel Damo Ata Mitzuvel Everav. Divrei Rabbi Elazar. Absent here is Rabbi Yehuda. Because over here in this Braita, it's bringing the psukim. And the psukim are only necessary for Rabbi Elazar. It only applies to kosher animals. But you're allowed to eat the basar by itself. Anything that has basar, it's mutar, it's a mitzuvel everav. Then you are restricted from having Eber Menachai. Kosher ain't basaro mutar, like a non-kosher animal where the basar is not permitted to be eaten, ain't a type of tzuvel, Eberav. You don't have a din of Eber Menachai. Rabbi Meir, ain't no heg, yellow bebeima, Torah bilvad. Rabbi Meir says it only applies to kosher animals, not even a chayan no, just the beima, and just the beima Torah. The Gemara will continue about halfway down on Kuf Bet Amud Aleph to explain then the position of Rabbi Meir as to why he believes it's only applicable to a Beimah Torah.